Good morning and welcome to Higher IQ. It's Tuesday, February 3rd. In 1980, the Hunt brothers, two Texas oil billionaires, tried to corner the world's silver supply. They drove the price up 700%, accumulated a third of the global supply, and then watched it all collapse in a single afternoon. One of them shrugged and said, $1 billion isn't what it used to be. Last week, something eerily similar happened. Gold lost over $1,000 an ounce, silver crashed 30% in a day, and it sent shockwaves through stocks, crypto, and commodities worldwide. It's the biggest precious metal story in a generation, and it probably affected your portfolio, whether you knew it or not. Today, we're going deep. What happened? Why gold has been humanity's panic button for 5,000 years, and what this crash might be telling us about what's coming next. Let's get into it. Gold hit an all-time record around $5,600 an ounce last Thursday. By Monday, it had dropped to the mid-$4,400, roughly an 18 to 20% drawdown depending on which print you use, with the price plunging nearly 10% on Friday alone, the worst single day for gold since 1983. Silver's move was even more violent. It touched $121 per ounce last week, an all-time high, and then cratered about 30% on Friday, its worst day since that Hunt Brothers collapse we just mentioned. By Monday, it had fallen into the low $70 before bouncing back toward $80. Bloomberg called it gold's biggest slump in more than a decade. The exchanges responded by hiking margin requirements, which only accelerated the selling as leveraged traders scrambled to raise cash. It was the kind of week that makes traders question their careers and makes the rest of us wonder what exactly just happened. And here's why this matters, even if you've never bought a gold coin in your life. If you have a 401k, a target date retirement fund, or really any diversified portfolio, you almost certainly have some exposure to commodities or international funds that hold precious metals. This week touched your money, whether you realized it or not. So what caused this? Gold has been treated as the ultimate store of value for roughly 5,000 years, which is remarkable when you think about what it actually is, a soft metal that doesn't generate income, doesn't pay dividends, and doesn't do much of anything except sit there. Its value is almost entirely psychological. Gold is what humans reach for when they stop trusting everything else. And lately, there's been a lot to not trust. Since October 2022, when gold was trading around $650, the price more than tripled. To put that in perspective, gold has outperformed the S&P 500 over the last 3 years, a sentence that would have sounded insane to most financial advisors a decade ago. The drivers were real and stacking on top of each other. Inflation spiked to 9% in 2022 and took years to fully cool. Trade wars and tariff threats rattled global commerce. And perhaps most strikingly, central banks around the world went on a gold buying spree, purchasing over 1,000 tons in 2023, the most in any single year since 1950. Countries like China, India, Turkey, and Poland were all stacking gold to diversify away from the US dollar. When the people who run the global financial system are themselves buying the asset that says, "I don't trust the global financial system," regular investors notice. Meanwhile, the dollar's purchasing power has been quietly eroding. Between 2021 and 2025, it lost roughly 15 to 20% of its real spending power. Gold at $1,700 in 2022, gold briefly at $5,600 last week. That's not just a rally. It's a statement about what people think a dollar is worth. The same anxiety driving gold was also supercharging a metal that's probably in your pocket right now. Silver is in your phone, your laptop, your car's electronics, and increasingly in the solar panels going up on rooftops worldwide. That's what makes silver a fundamentally different animal from gold. It's a hybrid, half precious metal, half industrial commodity. About half of all silver demand comes from industry, and that share is growing. The solar energy boom alone is expected to consume record amounts of silver this year. When times are uncertain and the economy is still running, silver benefits from both fear and function. When things turn, it gets hit from both sides. That dual identity is why silver's swings are almost always wilder than gold's, and why the last year was so extraordinary. over the past year, silver had surged roughly 240%. If you'd invested $5,000 in silver a year ago, it was worth about $17,000 at last week's peak. A generational run. And people started drawing comparisons to the most legendary silver story ever told, which is where we circle back to those Texas billionaires. Nelson and William Herbert Hunt were oil heirs who decided in the late 1970s that the dollar was doomed. They started buying silver aggressively. By 1980, they controlled roughly a third of the world's privately held supply. Silver went from about $6 an ounce to nearly $50 in just over a year. Tiffany's took out a full-page ad in the New York Times calling the hoarding unconscionable. Then the exchanges changed the rules, restricting leveraged purchases, and the whole thing unraveled. On March 27, 1980, Silver Thursday, silver lost a third of its value in a single session. The Hunts went from among the richest men in America to the biggest individual debtors in financial history. Nobody is accusing anyone of cornering the market today. But the pattern rhymes: a parabolic run-up, heavy leverage, crowded positioning, and then a sudden catalyst triggering a cascade of forced selling. The immediate trigger was President Trump's nomination of Kevin Warsh to replace Jerome Powell as Federal Reserve Chair when Powell's term ends in May. Warsh is widely seen as a monetary hawk, someone who favors higher interest rates to fight inflation. Ironically, while the nomination spooked gold investors, some analysts noted it actually calmed broader market fears about Fed independence, since Warsh is viewed as a credible, experienced pick rather than a political loyalist. That matters for gold because of a straightforward trade-off. When rates stay higher and the Fed looks stable, holding an asset that pays you nothing gets harder to justify. Why sit on gold when a treasury bond is paying you 4 or 5%? The Warsh announcement strengthened the dollar, which makes gold more expensive for foreign buyers, and that dampened demand further. But the nomination was really just the match. The kindling had been building for months. Gold and silver were in what traders call a crowded trade. Too many people on the same side of the bet, many using borrowed money. One investment manager nailed it. When everyone is leaning the same way, even good assets can sell off hard once positions start unwinding. And that's what happened. As prices dropped, the exchanges raised margin requirements, meaning traders had to post more cash to hold their positions or sell. Many couldn't post the cash, so they sold. That pushed prices lower, which triggered more margin calls, which forced more selling. A doom loop, and it played out in hours, not days. This wasn't just a precious metals story. On Monday, stock futures dropped. NASDAQ fell about 1%. The S&P slid nearly a point. Bitcoin dropped sharply. Base metals like copper and tin got hammered. For at least a moment, it looked like a broad risk-off event across multiple asset classes. So is this the start of something bigger? Wall Street is genuinely split. JP Morgan actually raised their year-end gold target to $6,300 an ounce, meaning they think the fundamental drivers are intact and this is a buying opportunity. Their argument: central bank demand continues, global debt keeps rising, and the long-term case for holding real assets over paper ones hasn't changed. On the other side, Oxford Economics warned that FOMO may be inflating a bubble in gold and that prices could end the year well below where they are now. Even after the crash, gold is still up about 8% this year, and silver is up roughly 16%. Those are strong numbers for 5 weeks of trading. The question is whether last week was a shakeout that cleared the froth or a warning sign that the music is stopping. Whether last week was a healthy correction in a long-term bull run or the early pop of a bubble probably depends on what happens next with the Fed, the dollar, and whether the global anxiety fueling the gold trade actually subsides. But here's the deeper point, and it goes well beyond trading screens. Gold's value is a mirror. It reflects our collective anxieties and hopes. When the world feels uncertain, gold gleams. When confidence returns, it loses its luster fast. And the speed of last week's reversal, a $1,000 swing in the time it takes to drink your morning coffee, tells you just how quickly fear can flip to something else. That's your briefing for today. Stay informed, stay curious, and the next time someone tells you gold is a sure thing, remember, the Hunt brothers were sure too. See you tomorrow.